Blog Talk Radio. Host Sharon Bennett. Thank you so much for joining us here, Sharon Live, here on the Marketing Pulpit. And, oh, I got some good stuff lined up for you today. But you know, I say it all the time. To all of my faithful listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. You are the best. I just love you so much for your encouragement, your support, your topic ideas. Just love you. And for those who may be new to the Marketing Pulpit, Sharon Live here on the Marketing Pulpit, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us live on the Marketing Pulpit. And if you have a question or a comment, anything at all, feel free to dial in 215-383-3872. And all you have to do is push option 1, and you will be put into the queue for questions. You will be put in the queue for questions. And, you know, I just love it when my therapist is with me. Therapist, how are you today?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous. Dr. Therapist is in the house. And listen, for those of you who may have missed it, he was in this area this weekend. And I'm telling you, he gave some wonderful information. And if you missed it, we're going to tell you how you can get that information at the end of the show. But, therapist, you were so on point this weekend. And, you know, we've been talking for the last few weeks. We've been in a series, Preparing for the Unexpected, Caring for the Caregiver. And we're going to finish up on that this week. But, therapist, I have a topic that I am going to bring up. I wasn't planning to, but after listening to your workshop, therapist did a workshop in the area. He did a 3-day workshop, and it was simply beautiful. I want to approach you with a question from your workshop. So when we come back right here on the Marketing Pulpit, we're going to dive right in. And again, if you have questions, just push option 1, and you will be put into the queue for questions right here on the Marketing Pulpit.
You're listening to Johnny Lee with the PeaceAtWork.org organization and the E-Panic Button. And we're here with Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pulpit.
That's right. You're here on the Marketing Pulpit along with my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake. And just always good to have him on the show. Well, Dr. Lake, we're going to dive right in today. You know, we were talking last week about caring for the caregiver. And I also want to mention, too, the mission of this program is to build strong businesses in the community so that we can put people to work. So you're probably wondering, well, what does caring for the caregiver have to do with building strong businesses in the community? Well, therapist, I'm going to get your take on this, too. We feel if your workers are healthy, they can be more productive. And, therapist, you have given us your thoughts on a lot of these topics before, but what are your thoughts on this particular topic, caring for the caregiver, and how it's important in building strong businesses? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm a big believer that one's emotional health is just as important as one's physical health. And both are related, tied in. They're twins, and they can affect you and your your personal life. It can affect you in your professional life and even your relationships. So emotional health and physical health are tied as you get together, and they are extremely important.
You know, they really are important. And where we left off last week, I've got to go back to a couple of the things that we talked about last week, because I actually got some feedback on that particular topic, and some folks were saying, you know what, I've got to learn how to start doing this, that, because I don't. Well, for those who may be caregivers, and it doesn't matter if you're caring for children, if you're caring for a sick loved one, if you're caring for someone else's children, it doesn't matter. This is one important key that you have got to start doing for yourself when we speak of care for the caregiver. I'm getting some therapist, are you building something over there? I'm getting some feedback. What are you doing?
No, I'm driving, so I'm in my car. I hope it's not too bad.
Okay, all right. Well, I was just wondering what that was. I wasn't sure what that was. But no, anyways. So listen, therapists, we talked last week about this one important thing, asking for help. And I know
yes.
It sounds so simple, but I have talked to caregivers, and of course, like I said, I got some feedback on this. They have been taking care of either the children, parents who have dementia, parents or loved ones who may be going through, and I even have spouses who are taking care of their spouses' parents, and they are burned out, and they are in a bad place right now. So we're going to just talk about this for just a few minutes, and then I'm going to go into the other topic I'm really excited about talking about today. But therapists, here's something that I think is so important. We share that if you're taking care of someone, and if you're not taking care of someone, you may end up taking care of someone soon because the baby boomer population is so huge. But in asking for help, one of the things that's so important is that you list the things that you need help with. If you need help, list those things. What are some things you need help with? I was talking to someone this weekend. They were saying, you know what, I have stuff around my house that I need doing, I can't do it, I'm having to do this, I'm having to do that. Asking for help and specifically listing what you need help with. Therapist, your thoughts, why is it so important that people list what it is that they need help with and then not be afraid to ask?
Well, one factor to consider in why people don't ask for help, and it could be the matter of pride, or embarrassment. Pride says, I don't need anybody's help, though I do need it. Embarrassment is, I'm ashamed that I've gotten to this place where I need help. And both of them are wrong and bad. And so we shouldn't be afraid. And then number two, no one is an island in and of himself. We all need somebody, and it's okay to reach out to somebody for some type of assistance. And you can start in your local church or community group. There are always volunteer organizations, people who specialize, or organizations that specialize in providing help, cutting grass or coming in and babysitting for a few hours or caretaking. So just look for resources that are right within your grasp and use them. They're there for a reason, because people realize that other people might need their help, and they're looking for opportunities to serve and to give back in their own way.
You are so right, and part of this has to do with the fact that sometimes we are so good at hiding our emotions, hiding what we are feeling. When we're feeling overwhelmed, we hide it. When we're feeling depressed, we hide it. When we're feeling angry, we hide it. And there are so many caregivers right now that are angry. They're angry they're having to do this. They're angry they're having to put their life on hold. They're angry because they don't have time to take care of themselves. They're depressed because they're feeling angry. They're depressed because they feel guilty about feeling angry, about having to take care of a loved one. And that can affect not only your life at home, but it also affects your work life and therapists. We said this last week, and I want you to just touch on it just briefly again. What are some of those chemicals? What are the things that happens to your body and happens to your mind when you allow this to continue to happen without getting it out or without talking to someone or releasing it? What happens to the body, mind?
Well, the first symptom of what you just described, when you're overwhelmed, you've not allowed other people to help you release some of the burden, you get burned out. And burnout can take a variety of forms. Stressed out. I'm emotionally drained. I'm physically exhausted, and I have no energy, no enthusiasm. It can spill over into depression. It can also spill over into being angry, despondent, hopeless, helpless. All those are symptoms or things that will share or will show that you should have asked for help, or you should be asking for help.
And I think the takeaway from this particular segment of the program is it is okay to ask for help. You do have to be very careful, though, who you allow to come into your home and take care of your loved ones. So you do need to do your due diligence. But it is okay to ask for help. And one of the things you have to be prepared to as well is hesitancy or refusal. You may ask for help, and somebody may sound hesitant, or they may absolutely refuse to give you help. Don't get upset about that. It's normal for people to be concerned about if they're capable or do they have the skills to help. But in the long run, it can do more harm to you and your relationship if people help you only because they don't want to upset you. So try not to take it personally if someone turns your request down for help. But the other thing, too, is don't let that stop you from asking them for help again, because it could be that they were just in a bad mood, they were in a bad place, it may have been too early, it may have been too late. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask someone you. Now, if you missed this series or this part of this series, Caring for the Caregiver, no worries. You can go to our archive shows at www.marketingpulpit.com, www.marketingpulpit.com, where you can listen to our archive shows. Just go to the radio navigational tab, go to MPINC, and you can listen to our archive shows there. But I did want to make sure that we reiterate it today. It is okay for you to ask for help. If you are in a situation where you're feeling angry, you're feeling distressed, you're feeling disturbed, it's okay to ask for help. Therapist, do you have anything else you want to say on this particular topic before I move into what I really want to get into today?
This is a growing paradigm or epidemic in our country. Our people are living longer, money is shorter, and families are forced to take care of loved ones longer than they anticipated or at all. And so this is something that we need to get a handle on and start putting a plan in place for those or this possibility.
So very true. And that's one of the things that I love about this show. We really try to make sure that we address topics that people are dealing with, and you may end up having to deal with it really soon. And we've expressed that as well in some of our archive shows. With that, there's another topic that I want to briefly discuss today. During your seminar, this question actually came up in your seminar, and for some reason, I decided that I really want to talk about it today. Do you remember during your seminar? And, guys, again, if you missed it, you need to go to therapist's website, www.empathic.org, and get this information that he talked about. It was very powerful. What, therapist, do you remember doing that workshop? Someone asked you a question about trust. Do you remember that? I remember that. It really was a great question. And, of course, this is something, too, that I feel affects people in the workplace, it affects them at home, but our premise is if you are having issues in your home, it will affect your work life. And that issue about trust, it was a question about rebuilding trust. And I wanted you to touch on that just a little bit more because I know you didn't have a whole lot of time to deal with it during the question and answer period because you had so many questions. But as reestablishing trust is what I want you to deal with for the next few minutes. When you have couples that are in relationships or even those who are at work and they have something has happened to that trust, and therapists, it doesn't have to necessarily be couples. It could be a parent-child relationship. It could be a member-pastor relationship. It can be any type of relationship where trust has to be rebuilt. Do you agree with that?
Yes. I mean, trust is the one thread that runs through everything, workplace, home life, church life, everything, relationships. That's the thread that keeps everything together.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's pretty huge topic. I mean, you have people coming to church mad, going to work mad because they're mad at their loved ones. They're taking it out on everybody because they're mad because they can't trust. They're going through phone records. They're going through mail. They're going through all kinds of things. It's a horrible situation to be in. But one of the things I want you to talk about, when a person feels that they can't trust, whether it's the coworker, the manager, whether it's the pastor, whatever it is, when a person is having a difficulty trusting, do you find with clients that you work with that a lot of it could possibly stem from the fact that they can't be trusted themselves?
I think I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And trust is, some people don't trust themselves, and that's just, for me, that looks like lack of confidence tied in with low self-esteem. Some people have a hard time trusting others. That could be because of hurt and pain and letdown or betrayal in the past, or whether it's childhood or in a relationship that has gone south. Trust is a big thing, and it's at the heart of, I would say, the majority of the issues that we face, either in our jobs or in our relationships.
Well, you know, therapists, most people are aware of the obvious trust-breaking situations, like if you discover if your partner's having an affair or if someone lied about something very important. But there are a lot of subtle situations that are damaging as well. For instance, if your loved one or your partner or your manager or coworker consistently says they're going to do something and they never deliver.
Yes.
On their promise. You need them to be emotionally available to you when you're going through some of the toughest times of your life and they're not there. These are situations as well that can destroy trust. Do you agree with that? That even though it doesn't sound like one of the huge things, the tiny things can destroy trust as well. Not calling when you're supposed to, not being home when you're supposed to, or even in the communities of faith. You expect to see, you know, your ministers, your elders, or whoever during the time when your loved ones are sick and no one shows up. Or they don't come by, they act like they don't care. Do you find that those are situations that can be damaging as well?
Oftentimes, we put the emphasis on the big things, the things that are so apparent. But most things fall apart because of little things that grow into bigger things. Slow leaks become bigger leaks. And just simple, something as simple as not making a report on time and saying that you were going to do it. And what it does is it sends out a ripple effect. Okay, well, does this person know what he's doing? Is this person competent? Or was it an accident? So you're starting putting seeds of doubt, let's say in your employer's mind, when you didn't come through with something that was agreed upon or something that was due at the end of the week. And then, you know, something may go great for a while, and then something else will happen. And that stuff just starts building up until your employer can look at you as, I don't know if they're really trustworthy or dependable. and those kind of weaken the workplace relationship. So to the point where you get passed over, you get frustrated, and it just opens up a can of worms.
It does. It opens up a can of worms. And what I want to deal with for the next 2 minutes, and I think this is really huge, therapist, because you have a lot of people in the workforce. You have a lot of people who are in our communities of faith and homes who are not able to trust the ones who are close to them. And it is a huge issue. Not only does it affect productivity at work, but it also affects productivity at home. And I know you know what I mean when I say productivity at home, in the sense of, you know, able to work together so that the family is as successful as it could be. You know, the children seeing those types of relationships and how it affects the kids. So what I want to ask you today, how do you go about rebuilding trust when it has been broken? And again, therapist, I'm not speaking of just the huge issues. I'm speaking of the issues where people can't depend on you. They don't depend on you. They don't think you will follow through, and they cannot trust you. And I know this is a big question, so we may have to break this down over a couple shows. And if we do, that's okay. If we don't, that's okay. But what about the fact that before you could even begin to trust someone, whether it's your partner or someone else, that you first have to trust yourself? What is the inner work that people have to do to start trusting themselves?
It is important, and I'm going to switch the word when it comes to looking at yourself, to confidence. And that is simply starts with believing in what you can and are able to do. Believing in yourself, your gifts, your talents, and your training. Belief in yourself, that starts it. When I stop believing in myself, then all kinds of doubt creeps in, and to the point where at the worst-case scenario, I'll even stop trying. Belief in oneself is the key. It starts there.
Well, and I'm just going to say it, and I'm sure you've dealt with this as well. When trust has been broken, when you don't have that, times not having that confidence in yourself makes you avoid the issue. And I know you deal with that where couples or those who are in work relationships, they're avoiding the issue. They won't say, you know what, this is why I don't trust you. This is why I feel the way that I do. How do you go about getting to the point where you feel comfortable enough to say that and not feel like you have to walk on eggshells for making the situation worse? Do you find that most people would rather avoid it than to talk about it at all?
Well, conflict avoidance or avoiding confrontation, that's pretty standard. Most of us don't like confrontation or conflict. We don't like bringing out or saying something that may be critical, and we are even less receptive most of the time to constructive criticism. So I would rather avoid it or act like it never existed or happened, and thus I breed resentment, I become angry, and that's just as dangerous as anything else. But those are things that people, because of, we all want to be liked and accepted, and if we think that if we say something, we're not going to be liked or accepted, then we're more apt to be quiet.
Well, you know, another thing that I want to talk about when I come back from a break is something that people have learned in the community of faith. It's just one thing that people have learned in the community of faith, and they think that that one thing, if they just say and do that one thing, it's going to make everything okay. Well, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about that one thing that people think will make everything okay in a relationship. And therapists, we're going to get your thought on it when we come back right here on Sharing Life. You're on the Marketing Pulpit.
You're listening to Johnny Lee with the KeithAtWork.org organization and the Eat Panic Button. And we're here with Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pulpit.
Did you know you can listen to the Marketing Pulpit 5 days a week? That's right. Just go to www.marketingpulpit.com to find out what that schedule is. Yes, you can listen to Marketing Pulpit 5 days a week. And you can also put your business in our directory. That's right. If you would like for our listeners to know who you are, just put your name in our directory. And guess what? It's free. That's right. It's free. So go to www.marketingpulpit.com. But therapist, before we leave, you know what I mean? I want to make sure that I approach this one particular topic. But before we do, I'm going to make sure we don't have any questions from any of our listeners. But I think we do have a question. So therapist, I want to get this question first, and then I will chat with you about my last comment here on the show. Yes, thank you so much for dialing in to the Marketing Pulpit. What is your question? Well, therapist, I thought we had someone that had a question, but I am not hearing them. So I am going to, it looks like they're trying so hard, but it's not working. So I'm just going to go to our next question. Hold on, therapist. Are you there, listener, with your question? We're not hearing them. Well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and go to this next thing. Therapist. All right. In the community of faith, we hear this one word, just forgive them and everything will be all right. If you just forgive and you move on. Does forgiveness, just saying you forgive someone? Now, I have my own thoughts about it. But, of course, I want to hear your thoughts as well. Just because you forgive someone, does that really repair the situation? If trust has been broken, does it repair that completely?
No. Forgiveness, and there's something else called reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
They work hand in hand. They mean two different things. But forgiveness is instantaneous the moment a person asks for or apologizes and asks for forgiveness. But it doesn't mean that the relationship is immediately made whole. That's what reconciliation is. There may be some things we need to talk about, things that we need to process together. And reconciliation is the process of making that which was whole but now is broken whole again. So forgiveness is the first step. Reconciliation is the next. When reconciliation has occurred, then forgiveness is complete.
Wow, that is awesome. Well, you know what, therapist, I'm going to try my best one more time to get through. Hold on, I'm going to try to get through on this particular call to see what this.
And listen to the question. It's more towards conflict, avoiding conflict, in their relationship. I think communication also, and if both parties would learn to use I messages instead of blaming the others, I think they would be able to, you know, resolve many of the conflicts in their home. What do you think?
I would agree with that. The I messages makes it, it's like somebody's fault. See, where we both want to make it work together, come back together. We don't blame the other person. So I agree. We tend to use a lot of I or you instead of us and we and our.
Well, you know what, therapist, I think that was a really good comment as well. And one of the things, one of the takeaways from this particular show today, and we're going to have to go. This show's always going by so fast. But when trust is broken, it is not easily repaired. And sometimes we would like for there to be a quick fix. We would like for it to be fixed, done, and over with. But it doesn't happen that way. So, therapists, if our listeners really need more help in rebuilding trust, because I know it's not easy to do, you know it's not easy to do, and they want to talk to you or they need more help, how can they get in touch with you so that they can rebuild their trust?
You can reach me, people can reach me directly at 714-376-8643.
Wonderful. You've heard it right here on the Marketing Pulpit. We've just been so delighted that you decided to join us today. And again, if you missed any of our shows, please feel free to go to the website, www.marketingpulpit.com, where you can listen to our archive shows. And therapists, before we go today, do you have the last word for our listeners as it relates to trust and rebuilding trust in your relationship?
The easiest way to begin to learn how to trust again is simply to trust.
Oh, I love it. Well, listen, you've been listening to the Marketing Pulpit. My dad told me years ago when I was starting my business, he said, you know what, dear, if you want to be successful, surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. And you know what, we do our best to do that on this show. That's why we have Dr. Lake on our show, and we're going to encourage you to do this and have a wonderful day. You've been listening to Sharon Live here on the Marketing Pulpit along with my co-host, Dr. Ira Lake. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.